Blog Talk Radio.
Koda, Mojuba, Asheda, Mojuba, Alua, Mi, Apolabi, Pega, Mojuba, Araba, Mi, Adesanya, Awuyade, Mojuba, Oguse, Compound, Oje, Remo, Mojuba, Baba, Mojuba, Yeye, Mojuba, Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba, Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba, Egungun, to all the Chiefs, Mojuba, Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba, Egungun, to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe, Ashe,
Ashe. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights and, of course, New Power Radio Network. We began Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio after the unjust Zimmerman verdict of July 2013, and we are pleased, happy, and obliged and aware and honored, actually, to be here to serve you as we approach our 10th year. We also ask that you support our sponsors, Manhood Raising Culture, headed up by my co-host on Wednesday night, Dr. James Jones. You can find Dr. Jones on Facebook as James Jones, as well as on the World Wide Web at manhoodraceculture.com, and, of course, as a liking group page. We also ask that you support the local initiative, the People's Platform for Equality and Justice here in Cincinnati, Ohio. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation, because gentrification is right around the corner from all of us, and we have a comprehensive approach to problem solving, and we need as much help as we can possibly get. So reach out to us so that we can reach out to you. So tonight, 325-22, here on Sign of the Times, we have Justice for Amaya. Amaya Braxton, who was only 7 years old when she was unfortunately murdered by an out-of-control driver on October the 4th, 2016. We have on the line her sister, Risha, I believe is the correct way to pronounce her name, and I am sure she is going to correct me, so she can fill us in exactly what took place that day on October 4th, 2016, and update us on the case as to, you know, for some reason, this woman who was driving the car, a person by the name of Karen Carpenter, was not charged with a crime. Greetings, sister. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, how are you? I'm doing very well. I'm so blessed to be able to have this opportunity. Thank you so much for allowing me to do this.
Absolutely. Thank you for being willing to be on the air and share, because that's the only way that we're really going to get justice for little Amaya. So did I pronounce your name correctly, Brisha?
Yes, it's Brisha, but if you feel more comfortable with saying Bree, that's fine. A lot of people call me Bree. So if
Bree?
You would like to call
okay.
me, yes, Bree's fine.
Okay, that's cool. So thank you for having the courage, you know, again, to be here tonight, because I know this couldn't be easy for you, your family, and definitely your siblings, your mom, your dad. Like, please tell us what took place exactly on October the 4th, and feel free to leave in as much detail as you possibly would like, and I yield to you.
Okay. Well, it's just kind of crazy because, like, I woke up that morning, and I just felt like something was off. Like, I just knew something was going to happen that day. So, you know, I get up, I go to class because I was in college at the time. I get up, go to class. After class, I meet up with two of my friends that I always, you know, met up with. We walked back to my apartment. It was like 3:57. And I just remember I was sitting on the bed and I had like all my papers strolled out because it was midterm week for me. So I was sitting on the bed and I just remember a number kept calling my phone. Like a number just kept, like a number was calling me. And I did not recognize the number because I had got a new phone. So I was just letting it ring. And so after probably, I want to say, about 15 seconds of it ringing, I finally answered the phone. And on the other end of the phone, the person said to me, Amaya's been hit by a car. Now, I'm thinking, okay, somebody's trying to play some kind of sick joke on me. Like, this is not funny. This is definitely not funny at all. So my reaction was, stop playing with me. Like, this is not funny at all. If this is some kind of sick joke, please never do that, because that's something you don't play with. And the person was just like, no, Amaya's been hit by a car. Like, she's really been hit by a car. And everything just kind of stopped for me. Everything stopped, because what? Like, how do you digest something like that? So I remember telling the person that was on the other end of the phone, I gave her my dad, which was also Amaya's dad, I gave her his phone number, and I said, call him I'm going to go and I'm going to call my mom. And so I got in touch with my mom, and my mom was absolutely distraught. Like, you can tell she was distraught, but she was trying to keep it together. Like, she was just trying to keep it together. So I have the two friends that walked to, back to my apartment with me. They're there. They're trying to console me, trying to make sure I'm okay. A friend that was like family to me, I ended up calling her, telling her what happened. I'm crying. Next thing I know, two more of my friends are walking through my door, and they're like, just grab shoes, grab whatever you need, let's go to the hospital. On the way to the hospital, the same young lady that called and told me that my sister had been hit called me, and she was like, I'm so sorry. Like, she was crying herself. And I said, what happened? What happened? What did you see? And she was like, everything happened so fast. Everything happened quick. And I was just like, wow, this is really not happening. So I prayed the whole way to the hospital. Get to the hospital. I get to the family room where my mom is. My grandmother, my stepfather's mother was in the room. So my grandmother was in the room. Just some of the immediate family was in the room. And I just looked at my mama, and, like, I knew just by looking at my mom that this was not going to be the result. I couldn't sit in there, and I wish I just would have stayed in the room with my mom to console her, but me, I had to go, and I had to get some air. So I remember I went to the bathroom at the hospital, and by that time, my friends had came in. That took me to the hospital, and she was like, are you okay? What are they saying? Is she going to make it? Is she going to be all right? What's going on? I couldn't even talk because I'm still stunned at what did I hear? Like, God, I know I'm not hearing what I think. I can't be going through this. My family can't be going through this right now. Like, this is something that we just cannot be going through right now. So I remember I went back and I sat down in the lobby, and my friends were all around me. And I remember my aunt came to me, and she said, it's not looking good. It's not looking good for her. And I said, don't tell me that. That's not what I need to hear. Don't tell me that. I need somebody to tell me she's going to make it and she's going to be all right. They were, my aunt was like, it's not look so good. And so about 5 minutes after my aunt walked back to where she was standing at, I heard a scream that I will never forget come from my mom. That was one of the most heartbreaking screams that you can hear from a mother. Aunt just, she walked back over there to me, and she looked at me, and she just shook her head. And it's just like, at that moment, my whole world kind of, it fell apart. It really fell apart. And I just started asking myself then, what happened? What happened? What is going on? What happened? Why did this happen? Why wasn't whoever was driving, why weren't they not paying attention to what was going on? That was the hardest day of my life. So hard for me. So hard for me. I remember I got up and I wanted to stay with my mom. I wanted to be with my family that night, but it was just like, at the time I was like, I need to leave. I need to go back to Fulton, and I just need to go to school and maybe, you know, wake up from this bad dream, because this is a dream. This has to be a dream. I'm going to wake up tomorrow, and I'm going to be okay. My sister's going to be on this earth. Like, this is a dream, and I just need to go and try this again tomorrow because this could not be happening to me. I mean, I was 19 years old, and I never imagined that I would lose a sibling.
Mm-hmm.
I never imagined that I would lose a sibling. And it's crazy because I had just seen my mom like that Friday. Just seeing my mom that Friday, we were laughing, we were talking. She was talking about Amaya wanted a Frozen party. She wanted a Frozen theme party. So I was telling my mom, I was like, well, don't tell her I'm coming home for her birthday. I want to surprise her and come home,
mm-hmm.
you know, but don't let her know I'm coming home. And, you know, my mom was like, okay, I won't tell her, but, you know, she misses you. She's so ready to see you. And I was like, you know, okay. So I had my mind set on attending a Frozen-themed birthday party for my sister, not attending a funeral for her.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, that day was hard. When I say that day was hard, it was hard. And then I woke up the next morning. For starters, I didn't get sleep at all that night. Like, I did not get sleep at all that night. I couldn't because my messenger on Facebook was going off. I was being tagged and posted. People were calling me. So it was really hard for me to digest everything. So the little sleep I did get, I remember I went back to my apartment and I was in the kitchen and I had started washing dishes at my apartment. And mm-hmm. I don't know what it was, but it was like something just came over me and I was just like, okay, I can't do this. I can't live my life without my sister. Like, that was my only real sister that I had. That was my only
mm-hmm.
sister that I had. So I'm just like, you know what, my sister's gone. You know, I was going through things in my personal life as far as being a college student, trying to deal with the college stress, the anxiety, the depression, everything else. And so I was like, you know what, I don't want to be on this earth anymore. That was the decision that I made. I said, I don't want to be on this earth anymore. And as soon as I said that, I had a knock on the door. But before I could get to the door, both friends of mine were walking through the door. One of them had kind of grabbed my hand, and she dried my hands off because I was washing dishes. She dried my hands off, and she led me to her car, and she put me in the back seat of her car. And then the other friend was coming downstairs with clothes, and I was just like, what is going on? Where are y'all taking me? And they ended up bringing me back to their apartment for the night because they were like, you know, you don't need to be alone, not right now. And I just remember they hugged me and they prayed with me because I was a mess. And so I would wake up throughout the night. Whenever I did go to sleep, I would wake up crying. I would wake up crying because the phone call was replaying into my head. Like, it was just replaying. So I would wake up crying on and off. I would say the most sleep I probably got that night was probably like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. I woke up the next morning. My friend asked me, she said, are you going to be okay to go to class? I said, yeah, girl, I'm fine. You know, I'm fine. I headed to class, and I remember people in the classroom talking about it. Nobody knew that she was my sister. Nobody knew that
oh,
I was
no.
my sister. So people in the classroom, and I remember this one young lady, she said, I remember she walked in the classroom with her group of friends, and they were talking about something at that time. But then I remember her turning and to one of her friends that was sitting beside her. She was like, oh, my gosh, look at this article. And it really wasn't an article, but she had clicked the link, and it was them talking. It was the news people telling what happened to my sister. And I'm in the class with this young lady. Like, I'm literally, like, maybe two rows over from her. So I can hear. Now, at the time, I'm holding back tears. I'm like, when I say I'm holding tears back because I don't want anybody to know what's going on. I don't want anybody trying to console me or anything. I just want to get through that class, and then I was going to leave, come back to my friend's apartment, and then go and be with my family. I did not make it through that class. I did not make it through because more people came in, more people were talking about it. I'm kind of white as they drop, and I'll never forget it. The class that I was taking was College Life, and my teacher was also my advisor. And when I say my teacher was nothing short of amazing to me, she was such a blessing to me. I remember she walked into the classroom, and by this time I'm shaking, and she was like, she was looking at me, and she had mouthed to me. She was like, "Are you okay?" But she mouthed it to me, and I just kind of, I was kind of hesitant to shake my head, so I just said, "Can I see you out in the hall, please? Could you come in the hall with me for a second?" And no sooner than we made it to that hallway, that's when every tear that I was holding back, it just all came out. And she was like, "What's wrong? What happened?" And I was telling her that the little girl that was hit the day before was my sister. And I just remember it was a few young ladies that were walking in the hallway that were trying to get to their class. And one of them was a softball girl. And I remember she walked up to me and she hugged me. And she said, "Everything is going to be okay." She said, "I don't know what you're going through, but everything is going to be okay." I tried my hardest to sit in that class all that day and not break down, not cry, not do anything. But my teacher was like, "I want you to go home. I want you to go home, and I want you to be with your family." She was like, "Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about your assignments. I will talk to whoever I need to talk to for you. Go home and be with your family." Anybody that knows me knows that I am so pig-headed and I'm so stubborn at times. So I was like, "No, I can sit through the class." She was like, "You are a wreck. You need to go and you need to be with your family." So, like, she literally went in the classroom, grabbed my things for me, brought them to me, and said, "Go be with your family." As I'm walking back to my friend's apartment, my friend actually pulled up beside me and was like, "Get in the car. We're taking you back to your mom because you need to be with your family." Walking back into that house was so hard because I went straight back there to the room that Amaya and I shared before I moved out and got my own place. It was so hard. It was so hard. It was news people everywhere. People were interviewing my mom. It was just so much. And at the time, I was just like, "Can everybody just please back up and leave her alone? Let her think. Let her. I mean, she just lost a child. She don't need to talk to anybody right now." My main concern was my mom. And until my little brother had walked in the house, and when I saw him, he just burst into tears. And when he burst into tears, I burst into tears. And the only thing I could do was just hug him. That's all I could do was really hug him. And I was like, "I'm sorry you had to see that. I'm sorry you witnessed that. I'm so sorry." That's all I could say to him was, "I'm sorry." And he was just, to see him cry, it hurt me even more. It hurt me even more, and it made me, it just did something to me. Because my brother was in pain. He was experiencing that type of pain that no child should have to experience. He just watched his best friend get killed in front of him.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. I can hear you.
Okay. Okay, so let's go back to the date of the incident. Now, Amaya was not the only person on the bus, is that correct?
Correct. Correct. She was okay. She was totally so many people, God, those people that witnessed it happen, I pray for them constantly. Even to this day, I pray for them constantly. It was children that saw that happen. It was neighbors that was outside that lived close to my mom that had saw that happen. It was people that I had went to school with. Because I graduated a year before I lost Amaya. So it was people that I had went to school with that witnessed that. And I pray for those people all the time. I do, because that's something awful to witness. Something very awful to witness. And I hate.
Now, this was practically a school bus full of kids. It wasn't just Amaya and your brother, right?
I wouldn't say it was a school bus full of children, but there were still children on the bus that were waiting to be dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it was cars behind the bus. It was cars behind Karen Carpenter that witnessed this. It's horrific. If I had to say one word to describe it, I would say horrific.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Did your brother or any of the other students that were on the bus, did they receive any sort of counseling or support? Did the school step in? Did the bus company step in? Was there, you know, an effort to heal them?
Some of the children did, some of them did have to go through counseling. As far as the school bus, as far as them stepping in, I can't answer that, because that part I don't know. As far as my brother receiving counseling, believe it or not, that part I am very unaware of. I can't speak on that for sure, if he received counseling or not. As far as the school stepping in, we had her memorial service at the school. So her funeral was held at the North Pontotoc Elementary Gym. That's where her funeral was held. Mm-hmm. Other than that, right there, I don't know if the school did anything else after that, but I do know that her funeral was held there. And even with that, some of her classmates were, oh my goodness, was distraught. Like, some, I've never seen a group of little kids cry like I did that day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say my brother is so strong, like when I say my brother is strong, he is so strong. My brother was 10 years old when this happened. My brother will be 16 this year. It took him so long to get back right and to be okay. It took him so long. And when I tell you he's so strong, he is so strong. He is just incredibly strong. Because him
wow.
and Maya, they may have fought what brother and sister don't fight. But it's the bond and the connection and the love that they had for each other. I remember my senior year of high school. It was this little boy on the bus. He was picking on Amaya, and he didn't know that Matt was her brother. Needless to say, after he found out Matt was her brother, the picking on her stopped.
Mm-hmm.
The picking on Amaya stopped. Like, and it was vice versa. It was this little girl on the bus, and she would always try to mess with Matt and throw stuff at Matt or whatever. And when I tell you, Amaya put an end to that real quick. Now, none of my mama's children are confrontational, okay?
Mm-hmm.
None of us are confrontational, but when it comes to each other, we don't play. we're not gonna play around with nobody when it comes to us as being siblings. Like I said, we may have argued, fussed, fight, whatever, but at the end of the day, we were siblings. We were brothers and sisters, and our mama made sure to let us know, you never go against your siblings. You never go against your brothers and sisters for nobody. I don't care who it is. You don't go against it. So, and, you know, that leads me to this point right here. For so long, I blamed myself for what happened to Amaya. I'm talking about when I say I blamed myself, it was times I was sick to my stomach because I'm like, how can I, why didn't I stay? Why did I have to move out and go live in Fulton in my own apartment? Why didn't I stay here? Because maybe if I would have been here and I would have had the door open, I would have stopped the car and I could have yelled stop or something. I could have did something. It was even at times to where I was like, I wanted to trade places with Amaya. I did. I'm not even going to lie. And I hope I could say that on the radio. I hope I could say that. But it was times to where I wanted to trade places with Amaya. I did. Because I'm just like, she didn't get to live her life. She was 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
7 years old. She didn't get to live her life fully. You know, I'll never know what it's like for her to go. I'll never know what it's like for me to be able to tell her, leave them little boys alone. Don't let no, you know, I'll never be able to have that talk with her. Even mm-hmm. when I was, I got married in 2019. And Amaya was not there. She was not there. And we had always talked about, you know, she always said that if I got married, that she better be in my wedding. I couldn't have nobody else in my wedding but her. And I'm just like, okay. So when she got, so when I got married, I was just like, my sister's not here.
Mm-hmm.
My sister is not here. And I remember I had asked everyone to step out the room when I was, because I did have, you know, a couple of friends that were near and dear to my heart that was in the room with me. And I had asked them, I said, can y'all just step out the room and give me a minute? And they stepped out the room, and as soon as they stepped out the room, I just broke down in tears. And I remember I had to get myself together really quick, but mm-hmm. I just remember crying because I was like, the one piece of me that I need here is not here. That piece of me is missing. And I just remember I just looked up to the sky, and I was like, I really love you, and I really miss you. And I just remember I blew a kiss to her in the sky, and I just went on with my wedding day. And it was just, it was, that was a hard experience for me. Like, losing her was a really hard experience for me.
Yeah, I can only imagine. That's your only baby sister, right? Your only female
right,
sibling?
Like, it was. Yes,
mm-hmm.
And when I say it did something to me, like, I was hurt. I was crushed. When I say I beat myself up, I beat myself up. And
yeah.
I was just like, wow, like, what am I supposed to do? What do I do
mm-hmm.
now? Like, how am I supposed to feel? Not what am I supposed to do now? How am I supposed to feel?
Tonight on Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio, we are speaking with the sister of Amaya Braxton. Little Amaya was only 7 years old when she was unfortunately struck and killed by an out-of-control driver. On October the 4th, 2016, you can Google Lil Amaya's name, Amaya Braxton, and different stories will come up. But what I haven't been able to find is the court case that followed Amaya's murder. So can you talk about the driver and what did or did not take place and what has to still take place in order for justice to really be received?
Okay. I'm going to talk about what I can because there is some stuff that I cannot talk about, but I am going to speak on what I can. First things first, I was really upset by her. I was really upset with the driver because this is my thing. What is it that you were doing that you could not pay attention to what was in front of you? That was my first question above and beyond all of it. And then my second question is, and I hope this does not get me in trouble, but if it does, I am so sorry in advance. But my second question is, was she black or was she white? I'm not even going to lie. I'm going to be completely honest, completely 100 with you. That was my question. Those were my two questions. What was she doing and why did she not see where she was going? And was she black or was she white? Because the reason why those two questions were important to me, because I want to start with the second question first. Was she black or was she white? When I got my answer, I'm not even going to lie, I knew how this case was going to go when I got my answer. When I got my answer, I knew how this case was going to go. Why? Because in Mississippi, the justice system is not fair, especially to African-American people. The justice system is not fair at all. Not fair at all. It's completely unfair for people of the African-American descent. It's not fair at all. My second question is, you are the driver. You cannot control what happens in nobody else's vehicle but yours. You are responsible for what happens behind the wheel of any vehicle you are driving. I don't care if it is in somebody else's name. You are responsible for what happens. She passed a stop school bus. She didn't go to the left. She went to the right in the grass and caused the damage that she did. So for the driver, I was very upset. I was very upset that it took them so long to put her name out in the news the way it did, because it took them forever. It took them forever. It took them, like, when I say it took them forever, it took them forever to put her name out. And I was like, why is it taking so long? Why is it taking so long for y'all to release her name? What is the issue? What is the problem? Why is this thing not moving along? And I just remember because I asked my mom. I said, "Mama, what's gonna happen?" I just asked her straight out because, like I said, I was 19 when I lost my sister. I'm 25. I'll be 26 this year in November if the Lord say the same. So at that moment, I knew we had a long road ahead of us, especially when I found out what her race was. I knew then, okay, God, this going to have to go up in your hands because this is going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. I feel like the state of Mississippi treated my sister's case as if it was nothing. I felt like Mississippi did not represent her. I feel like our hometown did not represent her. I honestly and truly feel like that because of the simple fact of why is it that it took them so long to say who it was that did this to Amaya, because they tried to keep it a hush. Like, it was like a hush-hush thing. They didn't want her name to be released out because they didn't want people threatening her. Okay, cool. I get they didn't want people threatening her, but then at the same time, you committed a heinous crime. You committed two crimes. You went around a school bus. Now, for people that don't know, I'm albino. Most albinos are legally blind. Some of us are not, and some are able to drive. God did not bless me with that gift of being able to drive. When I was in high school, I had to take an elective class. And the elective class that I took 1 year was driver's ed. Please don't ask me why. I just took it. In driver's ed, one of the first things that that teacher said to us is, you never pass a school bus.
That's right. You never do that.
So
that's
not
right.
only did she break that crime, but then you have nation's law that was also broken by her. So I feel like Mississippi didn't stand up for Amaya. I feel like there was no standing up for Amaya in the state of Mississippi, because if it was, why is it now 6 years and there is still no justice for Amaya? 6 years now. Mm. 6 years. Still no justice for Amaya. Absolutely no justice for Mimi at all. And that hurt me. That eats me up and that burns me up, because I'm like, what is it going to take for her to get some justice? What kind of moves need to be made for her to get some kind of justice? First of all, why ain't she got it now? Because if you ask me, if it would have been a black person that would have committed this crime, they would have been locked up. Now, I say that because I want to circle back around to this point. I want to say it was the beginning of last year. If I'm not mistaken, it was the beginning of last year, or it may have been the end of 2020. A black person hit, it was either two or three children, but I think it may have been three children. Two of the babies were airlifted to the hospital, okay? That man that hit those children was charged and put in jail that same day. There was no waiting. There was no asking, did he do it? No, it was none of that. That man was put in jail and charged all within 48 hours of him committing that crime. That's how I know for a fact Mississippi is not standing up for Amaya, because we could have banded together and we could have made something happen. That's also how I know that it's something deeper going on. What it is, I don't know, but it's something deeper that's going on, because ain't no way someone can do this to a child and still go home and lay their head down at night like nothing happened. I've had people inbox me on Facebook and say, you're being too heartless, or she didn't mean to do it, or she probably feels bad. Okay, cool. If that's the case, if I would have hit somebody's baby in front of all of those people that was out there, there is no way I'm fixing to go home and lay my head down like it was just a regular day in the neighborhood. Who does that? Who does that? Went home, went to sleep, got up the next morning, and she went to work the next morning. Got up, went to work the next morning like nothing happened. But then people want to say and make excuses for this woman. Why keep making excuses for somebody who did something like this? And I always try to tell people, you have to put yourself in my family's shoes for just 1 minute. And just imagine if you got that phone call, or if it would have been your brother that saw his sister get killed. I'm trying not to cry, because I promised myself that I would not cry, especially on the radio. I promised myself that I would not cry. But when I talk about my sister, I get very passionate. I get very passionate when I talk about her, because there's no excuse for what happened. No excuse at all for what happened. I don't care who you are. Wrong is wrong. I don't care your skin color. I don't care. Wrong is wrong, and right is right. And what she did was absolutely wrong. absolutely wrong.
Now let's talk about, you mentioned briefly about Nathan's Law. I found an article dated April 5th, 2011. It says school bus safety bill signed into law, Jackson, Mississippi, a bill that increases penalties for passing a stopped school bus, among other changes, was signed into law on Monday by Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour. The legislation was named for Nathan Key, a five-year-old who was killed in December 2009 when a vehicle illegally passed his school bus as he was unloading. Here's a quote. "I appreciate the dedication and passion of Nathan's parents, who were so instrumental in seeing this legislation through," says Lieutenant Phil Bryant. "This has been a long, hard fight, but was worth every effort to provide a safer environment for our children. Under the new law, the stop arm running will range from $350 to, fines for stop arm running will range from $350 to $750 for a first-time offense, $750 to $1,500 for a second and a subsequent offense, which will also result in a driver's license suspension for 90 days. Nathan's Law makes several other changes related to school bus safety, including clarifying the offense of passing a stopped school bus and authorizing cameras on stopped arms. It also requires that every driver examination ensures adequate knowledge of the part of the application as to school bus safety requirements, according to the text of the legislation. A similar bill died in 2010's legislative session in the state of Mississippi. The new bill was introduced that following January. And so it goes to a link that gives you more information about Nathan's Law. Now, this Nathan's Law was in full effect when little Amaya got hit. But this driver, for some reason, didn't even face a fine. Is that what you're saying?
She didn't pay anything. She didn't pay a fine. She didn't do no time. Nothing. She is out here living her life. She was never charged with anything. Nothing. Like, she was charged with absolutely nothing. She got to go on with her life. Her life is still going on. Like, her life ain't, her life has not stopped. Her life has not stopped at all. Like, she's still being able to do what she want to do. Like, and I feel, I'm hurt by it. To be honest, I'm very hurt. When I say I'm trying my hardest to hold back these tears that I feel and that's trying to swell up in my eyes, I am trying so hard because it doesn't make any sense to me. How is this okay? How is it that this woman can commit, she did this crime in front of people. It's not like she did it and nobody was around. People saw this happening. So how is it that it is okay for her to walk around and live her life, and meanwhile, my mother has spent 6 years. My mother has not seen Amaya since 2016. The morning of October 4th, when Amaya was getting up and my mama was doing her hair for school and getting her ready for school, my mama has not saw her child since, I want to say, 6:45, between 6:45 and 7 o'clock. That was the last time my mother saw her child alive, and Amaya was talking, and Amaya was interacting. How dare for her.
Mm-hmm.
How? And how?
Right.
How could you, as a human being, how is this okay? How can you go and how can you lay your head down at night on your pillow and not feel no remorse, no nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Because if she would have felt any type of remorse, first of all, okay, first of all, if she would have felt any type of remorse, she would have turned herself in. Wouldn't nobody have to go get her? No. If she felt any type of remorse for anything that she did, she would have turned herself in. Turned herself in.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Some people may disagree with me but when I say this, but if you ask me, she is not sorry.
Right.
She is not sorry, and her actions over the last 6 years have shown that she is not sorry.
Wow.
Sick.
Amaya expired from her injury. So it wasn't just simply her being hit by the car and that caused her death. Can you talk about the injuries, if you don't mind, the injuries that she sustained and who witnessed all of this? And I don't know if any of them received therapy, if it was suggested. What did the powers that be do to ensure that the babies would heal?
As far as Amaya's injuries, I don't know. I don't know what her injuries were because of the fact I was not that strong at the time to be able to ask those questions because it would have broke me even more and it would have instilled so much, it would have instilled way more anger in me than what was already in me because of that incident. So I cannot say what all her injuries were that I know for sure. But what I do know is, and what I can say is, she pinned Amaya up against the little garbage dumpster that my mom and them had. And at the time, it was like a little metal garbage bin where they put, you know, their garbage into it. And she had the audacity to do that. Like, you pent her up against that after you, like, she wasn't even going to stop. She wasn't going to stop after she hit Amaya. She was really going to keep going. She was really going to keep going after she hit Amaya. And I'm like, really? So you wasn't even going to stop. And you weren't even going to stop. You wanted to keep going after you done hit somebody's daughter. You wasn't even going to stop and check nothing. You just kept going, like, and that's how I know it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I know she doesn't have any remorse and she doesn't care because people had to flag you down and say, hey, you just hit somebody's baby. You just hit somebody's little girl.
Mm-hmm. And it happened. It happened right where your mom and them live, right? Right. She got picked up in front of the house and dropped off in front of the house. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct. It happened right there in the yard of the home that Amaya grew up in. In the very front yard that Amaya liked to play in and dance in and do things that little kids do is where her life ended because of someone else being careless, not paying attention, and just being, if you ask me, downright selfish.
Mm-mm-mm. So the police were called.
Yes. Yes, they were.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they were.
Now, did the driver go to the hospital?
Yes, she did. She did. And that's something else that I wanted to know. Why is she here? What injury did she – where are you injured?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you injured? That's what I want to know. They had the nerve to have her in the same hospital that my family was in. And they had her – when they announced on the news that Amaya was gone, Karen Carpenter was in that – she was in that hospital. Now, whether she was on the same side that we were on or she was on a different side of the hospital, I don't know. I cannot say that. But she was in the – she was at the hospital. They took her to the hospital because they wanted to make sure she was all right. I'm sorry, but at that moment, it shouldn't have even been about if she was all right.
Mm-hmm.
This lady just broke the law, and you worried about if she is okay. A mother just lost her child. Need I throw this out there, because a lot of people do not know this. Amaya's birthday was 8 days from the day that she passed away. 8 days away from her 8th birthday. My mom and my dad woke up that morning planning a party. But before they laid down that night, they had to get ready to prepare themselves to plan a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me, there was no reason why Karen Carpenter should have been at that hospital. She should have been in cuffs, and she should have been put in a police car, and she should have been taken to jail.
Mm-hmm.
For the simple fact of, and I keep saying it because I'm hoping somebody out there hears me and somebody understand what I'm saying. And I'm not coming from a place of hurt, because I am learning how to heal from this situation. But Karen Carpenter, she should not have been at that hospital. She should have been in a police car on her way to Pontotoc County Jail. That's where she should be.
Absolutely.
And she should be residing in a prison right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea where her whereabouts now. People have asked me that. Well, where is she now? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where this lady is now. But what I do know is where she should have been back then. And it wasn't in the hospital. She should have been in jail, because you done broke two laws. Two.
Mm-mm-mm.
If she had any kind of heart and any kind of conscience, she would have told them what happened. Scared or not, she should have told them what happened. She didn't have to tell them what happened. The evidence was on her car. Amaya's blood was on her car. The evidence was when the ambulance had to come and get my sister up out of the middle of the road. That was the evidence. The evidence is my, at the time, 10-year-old brother watching his sister get killed because somebody didn't want to watch where they were going that day. Didn't want to watch where they were going. I feel like her license should have been taken from her, and she should have never been able to operate another vehicle ever again.
You're absolutely right. Even if they had incarcerated her during the investigation of the case, right, which normally you're not going to tell me if had been a person of another persuasion, that they would not have been detained while they investigated the case. It doesn't sound like they even bothered to investigate.
I feel like she took Amaya's life and did not care.
Mm-hmm.
She hit and killed Amaya, and she did not care. She didn't, and I'm going to say that until somebody can prove me wrong that she cared about Amaya's life, I'm going to say she hit and she killed Amaya, and she did not care. She did not care at all.
Now, the next day, you were telling me a little bit of something that really showed that to a certain extent, little Maya's life had been disregarded. Did you say the bus, school bus, showed up the next day?
Yes. Yes. And I was like, what? The school bus had not had the courage to pull up to my mom's driveway after the events had taken place on yesterday. Pulled up to me. It was a different bus driver. And I want to say it may have been a different bus, but they knew what was going on. Why? Because the superintendent was out there. When my sister got killed, they called the superintendent. He was out there. So they had to report. They had to report it to the people. The teachers knew. Everybody in North Pontotoc knew that Amaya had been gone, including the people that drive the buses, the bus drivers, the bus shop. I don't care what anybody say. They knew. They knew. They knew. Because anytime something happens on a bus, the bus shop and all bus drivers are notified about it. I know that because I saw it happen. Because I rode the bus all my life. Never been a car rider. I rode the bus my entire life. So I know when something happens, especially an accident like that, it has to be reported because Amaya was on the bus but was stepping off the bus. It has to be reported. Mm-hmm. The bus pulled up to my mom's driveway the next day and opened the doors of the bus like Amaya was supposed to get on.
Wow.
Don't know why they felt like that was appropriate to do. Have no idea why they felt like that was appropriate to do. But it wasn't. It's not appropriate to do. Why would you Why did you feel like that was something that was okay to do? Like, no, that wasn't okay. I don't know if maybe they was looking for Matt to get on the bus, which is my brother who was out there at the time. But even when something like that had happened, why would you expect anybody from that house that is a child to get on the school bus after something that tragic and horrific had been witnessed? It was still no common sense used. Still no common sense used on their part. When I tell you my sister's case was taken as a joke, that is exactly what it was taken for. And here is my reason for saying that. If her case had not been taken as a joke, there is no way in this world we would still be fighting for justice. None of that. Amaya would have had her justice a long time ago. But
absolutely,
her case was taken as a joke. And because her case was taken as a joke, this is the result of it. But this is something that I want people to know. As long as there is breath in my body, I am going to fight for Amaya, and I'm going to do it until there is nothing left in me. I hope and pray to God don't call me home anytime soon. I want justice for her. She is going to get the justice that she deserves. I don't know if they want us to be quiet and stop saying her name. No, I'm not going to be quiet. I will not be silent because my sister needs justice. And even if she wasn't my sister, I would still want justice for a baby because the simple fact of she was a baby. She was a child trying to make it to the other side of those doors. Her teachers didn't know that was going to be the last day that they saw Amaya. Her friends didn't know that was going to be the last time they saw her. Matt didn't know that was going to be the last time he saw his sister. He didn't know that. I didn't know I was going to get that phone call that day that changed my life completely. Because when I say I have not been the same, I have not been the same since I lost Amaya. And I don't think I will ever go back to being how I was. I think I'm going to continue to grow and do things for the betterment of her. But as far as I just can't because I feel like somebody got to stand up, Somebody got to be the voice for these babies. Somebody got to be the voice for these children. Because after Amaya, it's been so many incidents like this that have happened to where mothers have had to bury their children because people don't want to watch where they are going. That's why it's so important to where if you are behind the wheel of a vehicle, you need to be paying attention. You don't need to have no phone in your hand. You don't need to be trying to do makeup and eat and drive with your knees and all this. No. Act like you got some common sense. Drive and pay attention.
Absolutely. I mean, a vehicle is a potential deadly weapon. Let alone if you are intentionally breaking the law and receive no punishment. You know, who is she going to kill next? And then what? It makes me also wonder, sis, and we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back, maybe discuss the fact that, you know, it makes me question, who is she related to? Like, is she connected somehow to the system by marriage, by relationship, by family, by communal, by friendly ties? Like, you know, how is this person invincible? So I want to remind the callers, if you're listening online, you can call in at 515-605-9859. If you are listening on your phone, feel free to press the number 1, and we will bring you into queue if you have a question or a comment about little Amaya's case. You're listening to Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio. My name is Queen Tahira, and I have had the pleasure of having online with me Sister Bree, who is a sibling of Sister Amaya Braxton, who unfortunately in 2016 was murdered as she left her school bus and simply was going home and doing what kids do. We have a caller in queue. I'm going to go ahead and open up Sister Amaya's sister and bring in the caller, 7017. Welcome to Sign of the Times. Who are we speaking with?
Stanford Poole from Cincinnati, Ohio.
And greetings, Brother Stan. Thank you for calling in.
Yes. Got a couple things that stands out. I was with the Cincinnati Fire Department for 28 years, EMT and that. But a couple things. The speed of what the lady that did the accident, she was probably speeding. It seemed like she also passed the school bus and went onto the sidewalk and struck the young lady. Two, it's a federal law and a state law for passing a school bus, and mostly all the states, all 50 states. It seemed like she may was thinking about leaving the scene. That's another thing, which is a federal offense, hit and run. And then one thing, a test of drugs and drinking. Immediately they should have took her and put her in a police car and transferred her to the nearest hospital to take a blood test for drinking, drugs, those kind of things. And so those things stood out that was not done. And it should be, which seemed like the police or whoever was doing the case didn't do what they supposed to do. So that derelict of duty to the public. So if that make any sense, I'm sorry about another brown person passing for no reason at all. My heart goes out to your family and yourself. So it do need to be something done. If that make any sense, that's what I see with this unfortunate death.
Thank you.
Yes, what he said, it definitely made a lot of sense. Unfortunately, the questions that, you know, he did bring to light, as I can't answer those questions, but I have to, like I said, I just have to agree with him 100% with everything that he said. I have to agree because I feel like I said, I don't know how fast she was going. I can't say how fast she was going because I don't know. But what I do know is she had to be going fast enough to do the damage that she did. She had to be doing something to allow her to accelerate her speed for her to go as fast as she was going. Because Amaya didn't die at the hospital. When the ambulance already got there, Amaya was gone. Amaya was already gone when the ambulance got there. So, I mean, with that being said, the damage that she did, yes, I mean, she knocked Amaya's teeth out of her mouth. My mom had to go and pick up Amaya's teeth out of the yard the next morning. If you were going, if you're driving the speed limit or doing what you're supposed to do, there's no way you can hit somebody and knock their teeth out unless you were going entirely too fast. Now, my sister was, as my mom say, my sister was a little bird eater. My sister ate like a bird. Like, she would take a couple bites off something. So she wasn't she was skinny. My sister was small. But for her to hit Amaya, knock Amaya's teeth out, do all of the stuff that she did, like I said, I don't know all of the damages that were did, and I just so happened to get, I just now got the green light to say this. She snapped Amaya's neck. When she hit Amaya, Amaya flew up into the air and she snapped her neck. Mm-hmm. And when Amaya came down, she slapped the pavement. So she had to be doing 90, 95. That's just my guess. That's just my take. Yeah, she was going pretty fast. I don't know. Maybe when they took Karen Carpenter to the hospital, maybe that's why she was there, so they could do a blood test on her, see if she had any alcohol in her system, something. But, I mean, there's so many questions that are unanswered. There's so many questions that are unanswered. And I just would like to say this. To the people that are protecting her, y'all are helping her get away with this. Y'all are saying it is okay for someone to kill another individual and get away with it scot-free. To the people that are protecting her, that are on her side, that know she did, that know that she did this, that she's had conversations with, you are just as guilty as she is. And I feel like the people that are protecting her, when the justice comes that Amaya deserves, because, that time is coming. That time is coming.
Absolutely.
That Amaya is going to get the justice that she needs and that she deserves. Any and everybody that has helped protect and shield Ms. Carpenter needs to be right on in jail with her, sharing a cell.
They covered for a crime. You mentioned that your mom had to pick up Amaya's teeth, you know, in the driveway the next day. How is she doing at this point, and what steps has she taken to attempt to heal?
When I tell you this woman is phenomenal, my mother is one of the strongest women that I know. She is one of the strongest women that I know. And I hope that I have her strength one day, because my mom has, this was by far something, because how I feel about it is no mother should have to bury their child. I feel like it should be the children bearing the mother. I had a conversation with my mom a couple of days after Amaya passed, because I was really concerned about my mom and my brother. I wasn't worried about myself. I was to the point to where, okay, I'll cry later. I'll break down later. I have to be strong for my mom. So I noticed my mom was walking around the house. She was talking to everybody. She was laughing. She was, you know, my mama was really together. Like, my mom was together. And I pulled her to the side. No, she actually pulled me to the side, and she said, "You need to eat something." And I said, "Well, shouldn't I be telling you that?" She said, you need to eat something. And I said, "Mama, how can you do this?" I said, "You just lost your baby. How can you?" And my mama said, "As long as I got God on my side." And I'm trying to hold back tears because, gosh, my mom is, that lady is so strong. My mom never lost faith. She never stopped going to church. She never gave up hope. Like, you know, most situations, because I'm not going to lie, when I say I lost faith in God, I didn't want to go to church no more. I was so upset with God. Because I'm like, God, how could you let this happen? How could you let, you know, something this traumatic happen to my family? I was so worried about my mom, but my mom was strong. Like, and my mom is still standing strong to this day. Like, she wrote a book. It was released last year or the year before last. It's called God Works on Tuesdays Too, and you can get it on Amazon. And the book is really phenomenal. I'm not, like, once again, I'm not saying all this because she's my mom. I'm saying all this because this is true. The book itself is phenomenal. It is about, you know, life after losing Amaya. And when I say that book is phenomenal, it is phenomenal. My mom, she's so strong. And, you know, ain't gonna lie, I had to go off on a couple people because, you know, people were inboxing me and was, you know, trying to, you know, say, oh, well, your mom doesn't want justice because if she did, she would have retaliated and she would have went and handled that lady, you know, on her own. Without, and my question is, what was that gonna do? Amaya's already gone. If my mom would have went and retaliated, there would have been another African-American woman behind bars. There, she just would have been another statistic that would have been behind bars that nobody, especially law enforcement, wouldn't have seen it as she killed my baby, so I'm doing what y'all don't want to do. Law enforcement would have thought it is she's black, she killed a white person, lock her up. I don't care why she did it, lock her up. And that's what I was. That's what I try to tell people. We cannot retaliate the way everybody. Well, I can't say everybody, so let me take that part out. We can't retaliate how most people. There we go. How most people think we should retaliate, because my mom, not only does she have me, but she has two other children. Two other children. So if her and my dad would have retaliated at the time, I was 19. So my brothers would have went into the foster system. I wouldn't have known where my brothers was or none of that. My mom is letting the law handle this. Even though the law has showed us why they don't care about us, my mama still has the faith that they're going to do what they need to do in order to bring justice to the family. So for that, I take my hat off to my mom because like I said, she never lost faith. She never stopped going to church. My mama got in church more. She was already there every time the doors of the church opened. But it's like losing Amaya, she just got in there even more.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, I will applaud her because she just never stopped. She never stopped going. She never, you know, gave up. She's still fighting for Mike. Now, just because she don't post all the time like she used to, my mom is still fighting for justice for her baby because that was her baby. I'm not going to lie. Me, on the other hand, I was ready to get ratchet. I was ready to go tear up some stuff. I was ready to go meet this lady because I wanted to talk to her. But then I thought about it. What is that going to solve? You only going to hurt your mom and your siblings more if you go do that and then something happens to you. So I just kind of had to take a chill pill, and I stepped back, and I was just like, all right, I'm going to let the law do what they're supposed to do because the law was supposed to serve and protect. But I don't feel like they're serving, and I definitely don't feel like they're protecting. And I keep saying it because I want somebody to understand this. She took a life. She took Amaya's life. How, as a law official, how are you okay with letting a woman walk free that has murdered somebody? Is it because she was white? Is it because
you'd have to seriously consider that fact. I mean, you know, for what we do also know is that for a fact, if she had been black, it would have been totally different just by being in the state of Mississippi alone. Like, so you're absolutely on point. Now, what has been done family's perspective to make sure that Amaya is not forgotten? There was a bill that you all introduced in the state of Mississippi.
Yes, I have to go back and I have to find that. But so I myself have started a foundation called the Amaya Braxton Foundation. And I started that back in January of this year. And I started that foundation because I want to bring awareness to Amaya's story because, believe it or not, there are people in the state of Mississippi that don't know Amaya's story, don't know who Amaya is. When they hear Amaya's name, they're just like, who is that? You know, I have a shirt with her picture on it, and on the back it says Justice for Amaya Braxton. A friend of mine made that shirt for me years back, but you know, when I wear that shirt, people's like, oh, is that your baby? And, you know, I've had people inbox me on Facebook because my cover photo is Amaya. The cover photo to the foundation page is Amaya. So I started the Amaya Braxton Foundation because I want to get her story out there even more. excuse me. I want people to know who Amaya is and how great she was. Because when I tell you Amaya's death brought people together, I know that sounds crazy, but I was going to, I graduated from North Pontotoc. It was a school called South Pontotoc, and then it was Pontotoc, which all three of those schools made up Pontotoc County schools, Pontotoc, North, and South. None of us liked each other. North didn't like South Pontotoc. South Pontotoc didn't like North Pontotoc. Pontotoc didn't like South or North Pontotoc people. So, but when I tell you, Amaya brought all of those schools together. It was people from Pontotoc School, South Pontotoc School, and, of course, North Pontotoc School that attended her funeral. I remember they had, I forgot what school it was, but I want to say it was actually North Pontotoc. Amaya died October the 4th. That Friday, they had a football game, and they kicked the ball off for Amaya. They had the ball on the field. It was like a helicopter that came in. I had the ball on the field, and when they kicked the ball, it was like little pink, like the little pink sparkle stuff. The little pink sparkle stuff came out, and they dedicated that game to Amaya. That game was dedicated to her. And I remember I had people sending me videos from the South Pontotoc game to where they took a moment of silence during I guess it's halftime, I guess, or something like that, when the band was playing. They took a moment of silence for Amaya. When I say that little girl brought people together in such a way, I know people who hadn't spoke to their fathers and their mothers and all this in years, and Amaya brought people together. That's how I know she was a special individual. She brought three schools together that could not stand each other. Three schools together that could not stand each other. So, I mean.
Wow, that's phenomenal, especially, you know, in Mississippi, where it seems like there's been an influx of those who never would want to see something like that happen. So it's a tragedy, but, you know, I guess you have to find the win as best you can, and even in order to heal from something like this.
And by me starting the Amaya Braxton Foundation, that is my way of healing. Because anybody that knows me knows 3-4 years ago, I would not have been able to sit on this phone and talk about Amaya without breaking down, crying, getting frustrated, getting upset, probably letting a few cuss words slip. You see what I'm saying? I would have never been able to get to the point to where now I have the Amaya Braxton Foundation, which, oh, my God, I am thankful. So I feel like so many doors are going to open up for this foundation, and I'm really excited. Also, a few weeks ago, it was officially decided that October 4th in the state of Mississippi is Amaya Braxton Day. So that is a holiday in the state of Mississippi. I'm trying to take it national to where everybody gets off work and everybody gets off school and it gets put in the calendar, on the calendar. I'm trying to take this far. So the Amaya Braxton Day is something that is very special. The Amaya Braxton Foundation is very special. I have actually a few events coming up to honor her. I'm going to be doing a fish fry May the 7th to raise money for the field day. That's May the 28th that we're doing. I'm going to do a field day because my sister loves field days. Like, when she was going to North Pontotoc, field day was everything to her. I'm good. Field day was everything to her. Like, She used to come mm-hmm. like my mama would do her hair before field day, and then my sister would come home, and my mom was like, "What happened to your hair? Why did you have red bands off your head? Why are you so rough?" When it comes, like, my sister absolutely loved field day. She loved being outside. She loved playing. My sister was just my sister. Like, she was such a great and smart little girl. She loved church. When I say my sister loved church, a lot of times she would be up on Sundays getting ready for church before anybody else was up. She would be there, had her bath, teeth brushed, clothes pulled out, waiting on my mama to get up to do her hair. And her favorite church song was Break Every Chain. She loved that song.
She loved
Break Every Chain. That was one of her favorite church songs. Every time I hear that song, I just kind of look up in the sky because I'm just like, okay, she's here. She's here. I know a young lady did a praise dance to that song at Amaya's funeral. And when I say she moved everybody at the funeral with that praise dance that she did, anybody that knows my sister knows. She loved her some Break Every Chain. She loved going to church. She loved to sing, draw. My sister was just such an amazing person. I hate that her life got cut short because I know for a fact that if she was still here today, I would never have my house to myself. That's number one, because she would always be here. And I'm pretty sure she would have been in some kind of sports or wanted to do dance or something like that. So the field day is going to be a representation of her. You know, we're going to have the jumpy houses for the kids. We're going to have, you know, water gun fight, water balloon fight, snow cones, face painting. I think I said face painting, but if not, face painting. You know, this is just going to be an event for everybody to come out, get them some good food, you know, let the kids run around, burn some energy. It's going to be a great event. You know, we're going to have good food. You know, it's going to be at the Howard Stafford Park in Pontotoc, Mississippi, which is, anybody from Pontotoc know that that's just the lake. So it's already going to be a playground on the lake. It's just going to be things for everybody to do. It's going to be something for everybody to do. Also, this year, I want to do a birthday banquet for her. She would be 14 this year. So I'm going to do a 14th. It's going to be my first birthday banquet for her, but it's going to be for her 14th birthday. So that's going to be October 15th. I'm going to start selling tickets for that pretty soon. The tickets are going to be $50 for anybody that, you know, would like to come out and, you know, be a part of that, or, you know, even if you can't make it, if you want to donate, that is, you know, that would also be good. Like, when I tell you, I have so much in store to keep Amaya's name going. Right now we have shirts, you know, that are being made, and I'm selling shirts for the field day. You know, this foundation is going to get her story out there even more. The goal is to have people sick of me. That's the goal. The goal is to have
That's
people
right.
so sick of hearing Amaya's name. But guess what? Until she gets the justice that she needs and that she deserves, people are going to keep hearing her name.
That's right. That's right.
Her name. And I say that because of this right here. And if I say his name wrong, please forgive me. Please correct me. But Mr. Ahmad, the guy that was killed a few years back, the way everybody band together and got justice for that young man, let me know that it is possible. It is
That's
possible.
Right.
It's not impossible. It is very possible. But it has to be more than two or three people that want the same thing. I honestly believe if Mississippi would stand up and come together and say, okay, until we get justice for Amaya, we're going to do what we got to do, whether it's march, protest, whatever. Until the justice is done for Amaya and she gets it, I feel like this is going to keep happening. I feel like mothers are going to have to keep burying their children because Karen Carpenter was an example should have been made out of her, and it wasn't. It wasn't. An example was not made out of her when it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some of these other mothers who had to deal with losing their children to being hit by a vehicle, maybe some of them would have never had to endure that pain if Karen Carpenter would have been made an example. She should have been made an example. And I feel like, you know, I stated this early on in the show, I feel like because Amaya is a black little girl and Karen Carpenter was a white woman, I feel like people look at that and just kind of be like, well, you know, it is what it is. And no, it's not it is what it is, because one thing I know, if a group of people really want something done, it's going to get done.
That's right.
Want justice, if people are hollering and inboxing me and saying, hey, what can we do to help get justice for your little sister, let's come together. Let's do something. And that's another reason why I started the foundation, because I want to show people, listen, I'm not playing no games when it comes to this little girl. She was innocent. She was an innocent little girl just trying to get on the other side of that door and enjoy her evening with her family. But instead, because of a careless driver, I haven't got to hug, hear my sister's voice, or none of that in 6 years. She wasn't there for my wedding. She won't be there to see me when I graduate college. I understand she will be there in the spirit, but I need her here. I need her here physically.
Yeah.
But I can't have her here physically because her life was taken at the hands of someone else. And because that someone else doesn't want to hold herself accountable, along with people in the justice system and the you know, law enforcement, because they don't want to hold her accountable, she's never going to be held accountable. Because someone once told me accountability starts with you. Accountability starts with yourself. So let's say I went into a store and I decided to rob a store. And in the middle of me robbing that store, someone's life is taken because of me. I'm going to hold myself accountable, whether I want to, because first of all, that's the kind of person I am. If I do something, I'm going to hold myself accountable. It may take me a couple hours to come to the realization, but at the end, I'm going to hold myself accountable. Why? Because for one, it shouldn't have happened. And that's what I'm saying when it comes to Amaya's case. It should not have happened the way it happened. Should not have. It should not have happened the way it happened. Karen Carpenter should not be able to walk free and be fine and be okay and live her life. And my mother should not have to spend the holidays with only three of her children instead of four. Shouldn't have to do this.
We want to remind the listeners to please reach out to, you know, Amaya's family and support what it is that they're doing to make sure that her name is not forgotten. Just before we close out, can you please give your contact information and what's the best way for people to reach out to you?
Okay, my contact, you can find me on Facebook at Breshia, that is Breshia, Keamber, Keamber. If you click on the first one, you will see Amaya's picture is my cover photo, so that is the right account. Also, Amaya has TikTok. She has TikTok. There's a Twitter for Amaya. I'm going to try to find those links, and I'm going to send them to you. Also, join the foundation page on Facebook, Amaya Braxton Foundation. Please join. I'm trying to get this up. Also, there is a page called Justice for Amaya on Facebook. Go and like that page and, you know, just go through it and look. Like, there's so many interesting things on that page that, you know, will shock people. If anybody would like to donate, like I said, my personal Facebook is Brisha Key Amber. It's the Amaya Braxton Foundation page. My phone is always in my hand. So if anybody would like to message me and, you know, just to donate or with kind and encouraging words, you know, I'm open to it. I just really want to get justice for Amaya. And I just want to say one more thing, if you don't mind.
Yes, feel free.
To the people out there that have siblings, especially sisters, spend as much time with them as you can. Because when they are put in that ground, all things you're going to have is the memories. Take pictures with them. If they want to go somewhere, if they want to take a trip to Walmart with you, let them go. Because I'm telling you, I wish I would have spent more time with Amaya. I wish I would have let her go more places with me. I don't have pictures of my sister, and I wish I would have took pictures with her when she asked me to. So for those of you that have sisters, whether she's older than you or younger than you, spend time, because once she's gone, that's it. That is it.
Mm-hmm.
She's gone.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's true with all our family, but especially the babies. So thank you, sis, for being a part of tonight's conversation here on Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio. And if anyone missed that information, feel free to reach out to me, signothetimes19@gmail.com, area code 513-913-2691. And, of course, on social media, Queen Tahira, New Power Radio Network, and Sign of the Times Sister. Please keep us updated on where things are, especially as we get closer to these events. We'd be more than happy to help you promote them. God bless you and your family, especially your mom. I couldn't imagine what you all have been through. So we're here to support you. We're here to help give you strength, and please keep in contact with us, okay?
Of course. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you, Brother Stan, for joining us tonight. I appreciate your support. As always, boots on the ground and on the airwaves. You a solid brother. You a champion. You a hero. And this sister loves and appreciates you so, so much. So until the next time we are on the air here on Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio, I love you. I thank you. And most of all, I appreciate and respect you. We'll see you soon. Peace.
This is Belly.
Yeah.
On my Kodak.
Black.
Ooh, know that.
Yeah.
Ooh,
get it.
Ooh,
work it.
Yeah. 100 bands, 100 bands, 100 bands.
Contraband.
I got the plug on who a hawker.
Whoa.
They gonna find you like Baka. Blah.
America, I just checked my following, listen, you motherfuckers owe me.
Black Kendall came in a backyard. My very life's a dog.